Good morning, all. It's nice to be here this morning. Nice to see you. Well, I was going to say smiling faces, but I don't see many smiles. I mean, happy Easter. This is a time for joy, a time for happiness, a time for gladness. I want to see smiles. That's better. That's better. Is this too far up? Perfect. You know, we've had a number of real good sermons lately. And they've all kind of been along a special theme. Well, I can assure you this morning, I'm going to break that theme. Not going to mention anything about repentance. Not going to mention anything about how you should live your lives. What I'm going to talk about this morning is both depressing to me and on the same hand, inspiring. I guess I'm a traditionalist. I'm going to talk about Easter. I'm going to talk about Christ dying for you and I. I'm going to talk about his suffering. And I guess where I would like to start is with the word Easter. Easter really is the time of the Passover celebration. And the name Easter was first used by early Christians after the death and ascension of Christ. They started talking about this time of the Passover as Easter. And we have shortened it today to Easter Sunday. The only reference to Easter in the Bible is in the book of Acts. And most scholars agree that Acts was written by Luke in or about 60 AD. And he used the term Easter talking about when Peter was arrested by the soldiers and thrown into jail. And Luke said that the soldiers decided to hold him until after Easter, before bringing him to the people for trial. So you see, Easter has been around for a long time. And the first part of the Easter story, as I see it, is kind of sad, kind of depressing to me. For it tells of the suffering of Christ. The suffering that he had to endure both before and on the cross. The suffering of not only pain, but the suffering of mockery. The suffering of disappointments, and many other things. You know, we think of Jesus Christ as a perfect being, and he was. But still, God, in his wisdom, gave Jesus Christ some human qualities, didn't he? some human feelings and human emotions. Don't you believe that even though Jesus knew all things, and even though he knew the outcome of all things, don't you believe that when at the Last Supper it pained his heart when he told Judas, do what you must? And then Jesus went to the garden. To pour out his heart to God in prayer. And he had some of his apostles with him. And don't you think that he was disappointed when he had to say unto them, couldn't you wait 1 hour with me? At such an important time in his life, his apostles slept. While he prayed. And can't we see some of the humanness in Christ? When he knelt in prayer and sweated great drops of blood and said unto God, let this cup pass from me. Oh, I don't believe that Christ was afraid. I believe he was disappointed. And he was asking God when he said, won't you let this cup pass from me? He was asking God, give me a little more time with Judah. Let me try a little harder to convert them, to turn them back to you, God. But it was not to be. He was disappointed. And don't you think that he was disappointed with Peter? Oh, that strong one, Peter, who drew his sword in his defense. When he knew Peter would deny him 3 times. Don't you believe Christ was disappointed with Peter? I'm going to turn to Matthew. Twenty-sixth chapter, starting with the 37th verse. And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Here's our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, suffering of these human emotions. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You read these words and you can feel the emotion of our Heavenly Father. You can feel the sorrow. You can feel the disappointment. You can feel the anticipation of those things that he knew were coming. He could not escape. You and I. And then in verse 42, he says, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He's giving you and I a lesson and an example. He was turning his will. He was submitting his will to his Father. Just as you and I should submit our wills to Jesus Christ. To say, thy will be done. And then the story goes, he rose with his disciples and started walking out of the garden and was met by Judas. And a mob of people. And they took our Jesus. They took him captive. And then the mockery began in full. The pain began in full. In Mark, the 15th chapter, the 15th through the 20th verse. And so Pilate, willingly to content the people, released Barnabas unto them and delivered Jesus. When he had scourged him, be crucified. So it started with Pilate. And do you know what the word scourged means? It means beaten with a whip. beaten till the skin is off of your back. Painful. Humiliating. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they continued to humiliate him, to mock him. And they clothed him with purple and planted a crown of thorn and put it upon his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed. They spit upon him. And bowing their knees, they worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Took him to die on the cross, to endure that pain, and I've read that it's the worst way to die. With every breath you take, there's pain. Every time you try to take the weight off of your hands or your feet, there's pain. And even there, he was scorned. Even there, he was mocked. The people who were watching scorned him, saying, save yourself. If you be the Christ, descend from the cross. Again in Mark 15, starting with the 33rd verse. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Again, the human part of Christ coming through. Why have you forsaken me, God? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, and behold, he called Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come and take him down." Even to the end, he was suffering. Even to the end, he was mocked. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. That's when the veil of the temple was rent. That's when thunder and lightning and dark clouds descended round about Jerusalem. And while this was taking place in Israel, there were also great things taking place here in America. We can go over to 3 Nephi. The fourth verse. And we can read of some of those things that happened here in America at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It says, in the fourth day of the month, there arose great storms, such as never had been seen before. Verse 14, it says, and the face of the whole earth became deformed because of the tempests and the thunderings and the lightnings and the quaking of the earth. Rocks were rent in twain, broken up upon the face of the earth, cracks upon all the face of the land. And it says, all these great things were done in about the space of 3 hours. And then there was a darkness that came upon the land. A vapor of darkness, so that no light could be seen. Neither fire, nor glimmer, neither sun, nor moon, nor the stars. For so great was the mist of darkness which was upon the face of the land. But this is only the beginning of the Easter story. This is the sad part that happened. The part that's hard to read. The part that's hard to think about. The rest of the story is positive. Happy. Full of hope and full of joy. When you talk about his resurrection. When you talk about his appearing to many people, and to the hope that this event, this great event, gave to mankind. And more to the point, what this great event gave to you and I what this event means today to us. Let's turn and read a little bit about this resurrection. And I'm going to take my story out of John. Twentieth chapter of John. Starting at the first verse. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sculpture and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth. Oh, she was surprised. In her mind, she was thinking, what has happened to my Lord? Someone's stolen the body. She ran and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And that was John. And saith unto them, they have taken the Lord away out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. You know, she was frantic. Peter, therefore, went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first. And he stooped down and looking in saw the linen clothes laying, and went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And then went in also the other disciple, which came first, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. Yeah. Reading this, you would think they just thought he was stolen. I don't think, reading some of the history, that was so uncommon, or that a grave would be robbed and the body would be taken. But Mary stood without. She didn't want to leave. She was weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked and seeth two angels in white sitting there. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken my Lord, and I know not where they have taken him. And when she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not it was Jesus. Now, how could this be? Here was a woman, Mary Magdalene, who had had a lot of contact with Jesus, who had walked with him, who had seen him do many miracles, who knew him well. How could she not recognize? But just think. When we go to a funeral and we see that body laying there and we see it buried, if we've seen that person a few days from then, our minds would not accept it, would it? Our minds would not accept. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith to him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." And she turned herself. And saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." She recognized him. She knew who he was. First one to realize that Christ is risen. She might have been the first ones, but there was a many who Christ appeared to after this great event and before his ascension. First to Mary Magdalene, and you'll find this in Mark 16:9. Then at Emmaus. He appeared to the apostles. And to a man named Cleopas. And you find that in Luke 24. Then he appeared to Peter. Luke 24:34. Then he appeared in the upper room with the apostles. And he showed him his hands. And he showed them his feet. And they believed. But if you remember the story, Thomas was not with them. And when the apostles told Thomas, "No way. No way I would have to put my fingers into the holes in his hand. I would have to thrust my hand into his side where the spear pierced it for me to believe." And then in John 20:24, this happened. The apostles were again together, Thomas with them. And he believed. Would you and I have to thrust our fingers into his hands? Or thrust our hand into his side for us to believe? And then at the Sea Tiberias, he was seen of the apostles again. John 21. Then he was seen by the apostles and more than 500 people at one time. 1 Corinthians 15. Christ showed himself so that his followers would believe that he had truly risen for them to give them an opportunity to return once again to God. And then to those in America, as recorded in 3 Nephi. And then he even appeared to some after his ascension. He appeared to Stephen in Acts 7:56, where Stephen said, "I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And into Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:8, he said, "Last of all, he was seen of me." And then to John the Revelator, as recorded in Revelations 1:13. Is this all just a story? Or does it mean something to you and I? What is the purpose of all this suffering? What is the purpose of all this mockery? All this pain that this man suffered? In the book of Romans, 5th chapter, starting with the first verse, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which was given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and I. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." That was the purpose That was the purpose of this great story. In Second Nephi, chapter 6. Starting with verse 10. For it behooveth the great Creator that he suffereth himself to become subject unto man in the flesh. And I think that we showed this by his disappointments, by his humanness that he showed from time to time. And die for all men, that all men might become subject unto him. For as death has passed upon all men to fulfill the merciful plan of the great Creator, there must needs be a power of resurrection. And the resurrection must needs come unto every man by reason of the fall. And the fall came by reason of transgression. And because man became fallen, they were cut off from the presence of the Lord. Wherefore it must needs be an infinite atonement. Oh, how great. Oh, how wonderful is the goodness of our God, who prepared for us a way to escape the world. Yeah, we can escape. Escape from not only the sins of this world, but in the end to live eternally with him. In the book of Revelations, chapter 21. Verse 1 to 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heavens saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is the purpose. This is the reason for this great story that we like to read and hear this day. Helen Steiner Rice wrote a poem. It's called An Easter Meditation. And I'll close with this poem. In the glorious Easter story, a troubled world can find blessed reassurance and enduring peace of mind. For though we grow discouraged in this world we're living in, there is comfort just in knowing that God triumphed over sin. For our Savior's resurrection was God's way of telling men that in Christ we are eternal and in Him we live again. And to know life is unending, and God's love is endless too, makes our daily tasks and burdens so much easier to do. And our earthly trials and problems are but guideposts by the way to the love and life eternal that God promised Easter Day. Thank you very much.